This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Grand Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report
with Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully is out today, but we'd like to welcome in the Chicago Sports Network audience, simulcast on CHSN until 9 o'clock. We're here till 10, and we're talking football. A lot of Bears talk today because of the trade that was made yesterday. Jonah Jackson on his way to Chicago from the Rams to be the starter at left guard, presumably for the Chicago Bears. And that brings us out to the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire. Aturo.com. Brad Biggs is a football man from the Chicago Tribune. Morning, Brad.
Morning, Dave. What's going on?
So the big deal yesterday, the big deal is Jonah Jackson to the Bears. This seems very strategic, Brad. It seems very intentional and targeted. Jonah Jackson has history with Ben Johnson in Detroit. How much of that factored into the deal?
Well, a lot of that had to factor into the deal, and the Bears had to be looking at free agency and saying, you know, what we've known for a while, that it's not great. Like, there's not a lot of high-end players that are going to be available in free agency. There are a lot of teams with more than enough cap flexibility to pursue multiple top targets, and that leads to probably cost uncertainty. So if you're evaluating specifically the guard market in free agency, and you're saying, well, I kind of like Aaron Banks of the 49ers, and Will Fries of the Colts is probably going to be a good player again because I feel relatively good about the medical situation, and it kind of drops off after that, and you get some other guys where you're like, okay, yeah, they're not bad, but you have no idea what the bidding's going to be like for these guys. And so I think with this trade for Jonah Jackson yesterday, the Bears are telling you they're okay with the cost certainty with what Jonah Jackson is going to run them, and they might not have been as comfortable in free agency in a bidding situation.
All right, before we get to some of the pros, let's look at the cons, because he obviously is available for a reason. Didn't work out in L.A. because he was injured. Shoulder cost him much of last season. So, Brad, I think that it's interesting and maybe even kind of illogical to some people to call this a good trade and then look at, well, he's replacing Tevin Jenkins. And why is Tevin Jenkins being replaced? Tevin Jenkins only played in 39 of 51 games over the last three seasons. He was injury prone. So you get a guy who has played in fewer games the last three seasons, 29 of 51. What is the difference, and how do you explain that?
Well, that's what's difficult, because generally speaking, when a team is bailing on a free agent that they paid a lot of money to after 1 year, like, that's red flags all over the place, right? That's a big-time stay away. And the Bears are going to bank on the relationship that Ben Johnson has with Jonah Jackson. Like, Ben Johnson can tell the Bears what they're buying on the field, and he can tell them what they're buying in terms of a teammate in the locker room, because I think the durability is a fair question. He missed four games in 2022. He missed another five games in 2023. It wasn't just all injury out there with the Rams. I mean, he was benched as well. Like that, I talked to people around the league yesterday after the deal. They said it was very weird what had happened for the guy in L.A., that they had really liked him as a player a year ago when he entered free agency and was paid by the Rams. So, I mean, is there an element of risk here for the Bears? Certainly, because he's got to be able to stay on the field. But there's certainly risk with all of them. I mean, if you're talking about Banks with the 49ers, he's missed some time. Fries had a broken leg this past year.
Will Fries had a broken leg, Brad.
Right, exactly. So you can't – it would be really difficult for you to come up with your great candidate that has been a rock in the lineup – each and every week for 3 or 4 years for the Bears. I mean, they're in a tough spot going into free agency when you look at the players available, as are a lot of these teams. It's not going to be great shopping season. I put it out last week, and I think some people talked about it, the fact that free agency came to the NFL in 1993, so it's been a mighty long time, more than 30 years. And the Bears have signed, as unrestricted free agents, a grand total of three players that have represented the organization in multiple Pro Bowls, more than one Pro Bowl. So there's just a tier of player that's not going to be available in free agency. And I fear that some people have kind of talked themselves into this idea that Ben Johnson and the Bears will be off to an immediate turnaround with some bold and aggressive moves in free agency. And I they could be aggressive if they're smart, but you're not necessarily getting guys that are going to be pillars for your depth chart. Like, you're getting guys that can help. It's where you plug a hole. It's not where you rebuild the thing.
I know we haven't heard from the Bears yet, so this is maybe difficult to answer, but in talking to people around the league, just want to be clear. He's not coming here to play center. This isn't another Patrick or Ryan Bates situation, is it?
I can't imagine that they want to do anything but plug him in at left guard, which is where he predominantly played as a member of the Lions from 2020 through 2023, and let him go to work there. Like, put him where he's going to be most comfortable. In the Rams obviously had some reasons to move him around a little bit. I think they need to put him where he's most comfortable, where he's got the most experience, and let him do his thing. I believe that they'll probably be hot after Drew Dolman in free agency, the Atlanta Falcons center, who's going to cost an awful lot of money. Supply and demand, and it's a bad position, I think, in the draft this year. But they've got cost certainty now with Jonah Jackson. They're not tied up with all kinds of bonus money that's going to impact their cap moving forward if it doesn't work out for him. I think in a perfect world, you look at a guy like him and you say, hey, this guy could be a good starter for him for two seasons, maybe three. Maybe they work something out. I mean, he's going to be 28, or he's already 28 years old. But you can get out of this without having cap implications down the road. Whereas if you're a player for one of the higher ranked guards in free agency, I mean, that you're staring down what, a 4-year deal with that would have cap implications if it's not the right fit.
So Jonah Jackson is coming to Chicago via the trade. We learned that on Tuesday, as well as Jack Sanborn is going, the linebacker who started part-time for the Bears over the last three seasons.
I don't know if he's moving on. They're just going to throw the RFA tender on him. I don't know that they're going to put the RFA tender on any of their guys. I think Chris Williams, the defensive tackle, is the leading candidate for a restricted free agent tender, which is going to be about $3.2 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bunch of money. With Josh Blackwell, the cornerback, one of the better special teams player, my hunch is that maybe he gets some type of multi-year contract, which isn't to the value of the one-year tender, $3.2 million, but probably has some guarantees in him. That's one of the weird things about these RFA tenders, Dave, is it's $3.2 million, but it's not guaranteed at all. So you sign that, and they draft a guy, and you do a bad ankle sprain, you could be SOL. I think Blackwell winds up on a 2 or 3 year deal with some guarantees in there because he's a guy that they like to have around and they can avoid having to commit $3.2 million to him this season. Sanborn, I would expect him to look for a situation where he can get more playing time. And we have no idea how the new defensive coaching staff has evaluated him.
Mm-hmm.
But just because they're not going to drop a tender on him doesn't mean would not preclude a return for Sanborn or any of those other guys.
But with Sanborn, he does have starting experience. He is regarded as a pretty good special teamer. There's an element of risk, even small, that he would go to the open market and find somebody more willing to pay him than the Bears are. Is that something? Is it a risk worth taking?
I think you can. That strong side linebacker position, I think you can fill that. I do. If I'm him, I'm looking for a place that I feel like I can get some more playing time out of. Again, I don't know how the new staff has evaluated him, but let's say old staff's still here. If I'm him, I'm looking for a spot where I can get on the field more than 25-28% of snaps. Just wasn't out there a ton, but was a reliable player. When he was relatively healthy, and that's a kudos to the scouting department to identify a guy like that and then recruit him, because that's what you have to do when guys are undrafted. You've got to identify them and then convince them that you're the right place for them to sign.
And you look at the Matt Eberflus down in Dallas as a defensive coordinator, you wonder if that could be a potential fit if they're looking for a guy to either be a depth linebacker and a special teamer, because there will be teams out there that value what he could offer. But you're right in that it's not necessarily guaranteeing that he's leaving the Bears, but it certainly opens the door a little bit wider.
Yeah, no question about it. And that's the same with all the RFAs until they get some action, and you would imagine their agents were just as busy in Indianapolis as some of the guys who will be unrestricted free agents. Like there's conversations that are taking place. People are gearing up for Monday when the negotiating window opens, and it's usually not a surprise when it's very, very soon into that negotiating window that, oh, would you look at that? There's a deal in place. How did that happen so quickly?
So did anything happen at the NFL Combine in terms of testing or interviews that you think is significant and could affect the Bears' approach during the 3-day draft?
Not that I'm aware of. There's some guys that did well, right? There's some players that really performed well, but it's something that's going to shift what they're doing right now. Not necessarily. I think we need to we need to see what happens here with free agency and kind of how they can fill in some of these parts around Jonah Jackson and what the depth chart looks like when we get to, let's say the end of the third week of March, like 5-7 days into free agency, you're going to have a pretty good idea what the thing looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It moves fast, and it'll slow down way before 5 days into free agency. So what's it look like then? And then you start looking and saying, well, boy, they're probably going to have to fill this position and that position via the draft. You wonder, okay, what's the plan now on the O-line. Let's say they are able to sign Drew Dolman and Graves.
Okay, that's two.
What are you doing at that other guard spot?
Well,
are you going out and you sign in a veteran so you have one that's on the cheaper side, but then thinking about drafting one? Because as big of a project as this offensive line rebuild is, and as much as they've talked about it, have you really addressed it if you don't spend a high pick on an offensive lineman?
Yeah.
Like you traded for Jonah Jackson. He's, what, 28? You're hoping you can get 2-3 seasons out of him, right? Maybe you sign Dolman in free agency. Okay, he's 26, I believe.
You can still draft a first-round offensive lineman. That doesn't preclude you from doing that.
I think you have to.
How about Will Campbell? Are his arms too short for you? What do you think?
See, this is what's been hilarious to me is folks are like, his arms are going to be too short for all these other teams. That'll be great because they'll come to the Bears. Like it's like the Bears are going to be the only team that figures out that he's a hell of a football player, no matter what the tape measure says with his arms. I don't think he's going to make it to 10. Right now, it's just my hunch. I think the tape people look at and the intangibles with a guy like that, I think he's gone before 10.
Yeah, and I think that he probably is as well. So that doesn't change, though, if there is a offensive lineman like the Texas tackle, Kelvin Banks, or Josh Simmons from Ohio State. Those are the names that you see as offensive tackles. Not all three of them will be gone by the time you pick at 10. And if your priority remains offensive line, you're going to be more inclined to take somebody like that.
Right. Or, there's nothing wrong with taking Tyler Booker, the Alabama guard. Right? I mean,
He didn't test well, Brad. He had a great interview. He's great on tape, but he didn't have great numbers from the combine.
All that stuff matters. It's all part of the evaluation process. It's really, really good football player.
Yes,
in Alabama,
he is.
They're played big time competition most weeks. So we'll see what shakes out for him, but. That's a good football player and a guy you plug in, and I don't think you have to worry about him for a long time.
Just want to zoom out for a moment away from the Bears. It does affect them in the division, but I'm just curious what you thought about the Vikings' decision not to tag Sam Darnold yesterday and move on. He could, again, come back to the Vikings if they can work out a deal, but he also is going to test the open market. We know how quarterbacks go on the open market. So how does that affect the Bears, and how surprised were you?
I'm not surprised based on the number. Like, the number was, what, $40 million?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get into that, and it can tie you up, and you don't have flexibility to perform some of the other moves that you do need to make. Darnold was not great in those final couple games of the year. Okay, now he had a fantastic season. He is a completely different player than you're accustomed to seeing when he came out with the Jets, right? And so he's going to get paid. I don't see him going back to Minnesota. They really like J.J. McCarthy. I don't know that the Darnold season happens in totality if McCarthy stays healthy last year, so you'll have a new starting quarterback in the division with McCarthy for the Vikings, and someone is going to feel comfortable giving Sam Darnold an awful lot of money on the open market, and with the hope being that it continues to play good football and is sort of the next Baker Mayfield, right?
Exactly. Just a moment left, Brad, but concerning quarterbacks, do you think the Bears are in the market for a veteran backup besides Tyson Bagent, who is out there? Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo, Joe Flacco, those are names you see, probably too expensive, but we don't know what Ben Johnson thinks about the quarterback room.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. It's probably one they've been discussing to some level. Like, they've got obviously bigger issues in play here, and Ben Johnson's going to be the most important voice for Caleb Williams this year. What does that backup look like, and are you getting an upgrade over, like, Tyson Bagent? Like, I know the front office, they hold Tyson Bagent in some level of regard as a number two quarterback. There's some stuff he doesn't know because of lack of experience, right? And which is fair to say, is the veteran that they could bring in a guy who can offer more in terms of awareness and just passing things on to Caleb and be better as a player on the field, then it's probably a discussion worth having. I know it's something they've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they've got a target in mind or if they've made a decision on, we really need to do this, or we're relatively content with where Tyson's at.
Great stuff, Brad. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Have a great day, Dave.
Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune Football Man, also friend of the program here and a fixture on The Score. What do you think of the Bears trade for Jonah Jackson, and do you think it will affect their draft approach or what they do in free agency? 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. We'll get to your texts and calls next. It's Mully and Haw. Mully out today. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We are going to be locked at the hip and connected every step of the way with all the decisions that are made.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Talking Bears in the trade for Jonah Jackson. That was Ben Johnson back on the day he was introduced as the head coach of the Bears. The job says he's the head coach of the Bears. In reality, he is the head coach and chief personnel director of the Bears. This trade says that to me as much as anything. This is a Ben Johnson move. Good general managers go out and get players that their coaches want. But I think powerful head coaches know what they need. And this is a sign of a powerful head coach. Starting strong, this is a good first step for Ben Johnson. He's going out and getting a player, targeting a player, if you will. That, yeah, he's injury prone. Jonah Jackson has only played in 29 games over the last three seasons. That's not great. If you want to try to rationalize it into something that isn't totally negative, is that the injuries were isolated to maybe a shoulder situation. There was maybe one other injury. It's not as if there were five different body parts appearing on an injury report over the course of an entire season. That's the Tevin Jenkins example. But this, to me, is an example, more than anything, of Ben Johnson getting his way, shaping his roster, and essentially building his offense with players who know it. And it helps to have a guy who has been in the huddle before and can relate to what Ben Johnson wants to do and has watched tape with him in the room and knows what he wants to see. I think it's a solid move. Spectacular, we'll wait and see. He's got to stay on the field. But with the Bears who have money to spend, investing $17.5 million in your weakest position group is smart. It's a smart investment in my book. But what do you think? 312-644-6767. Let's start the conversation with our buddy Jeff. Jeff, welcome to The Score. How are you?
Hey, good morning, David. A couple things. First, I was really up on this trade until you just talked to Bigsy, and he gave me Nate Davis vibes. He's like, this guy got his money and then went to L.A. and then got injured, but he said he made it sound like he also got benched, too. I would like someone to delve into that, maybe do a little look into that. The good thing about him versus Nate Davis is you only got him for the 1 year right now, and you can get rid of him after next year if it turns out he is that way. The other thing is, at number 10, I don't want best player. I want offensive lineman, because if this guy doesn't work out, and I'm not a Braxton Jones fan, as I've said on these airways before, and you don't have a right guard and you don't have a center. you really only have a right tackle right now. So we need to build a line. And to build a line, you got to draft linemen. So I think number 10, you've got to go offensive lineman, best offensive lineman. But that's my feelings on that today.
Jeff, thanks for the phone call. I don't disagree. I still would lean heavily in that direction. I still would resist the temptation, if he's on the board, to draft Ashton Jeanty. I still would lean toward one of the three top offensive tackles, whether it's Will Campbell and his short arms if he drops to the Bears at number 10, Kelvin Banks from Texas, or Josh Simmons from Ohio State. All three of those guys would represent, I think, good, solid, smart picks at number 10 overall. Tyler Booker, the guard from Alabama, could also be on that list. Biggsy just mentioned him. He's a guy that talks a great game. He's got terrific experience in game tape. He didn't test well. He didn't have the good numbers at the combine. I don't know what that means, and I don't know how much that value, how much that would hold him back. But I do think that you can't ignore it, just like you can't ignore the fact that Jonah Jackson comes to the Bears a little banged up. But as for what Brad said about getting beaten out, I believe that the Rams moved him to center. And when he played center, it maybe wasn't a great fit. He was one of these guys, as we have seen in Chicago, not every guard can play center, even though he may be versatile. It's not always the best move. That we assume a lot of things about the center position that maybe we shouldn't. Jonah Jackson was a better guard than center. Just like, dare I say it, Lucas Patrick and Ryan Bates. Failed experiments in Chicago at the center position. I don't think this is that. We'll wait and see if he can stay on the field. If he does, I think you've got a top-tier guard, as it was described to me by an offensive line coach in the NFL who's still active, a top-tier guard joining a line that needs top-tier offensive linemen. Let's go back to the phone line. Sam is on the road. Sam, welcome to Mullen Hall. How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me. I hate to say it, but I'm not in on this trade. What I think is going on is more of the same. You're trading an injured player and getting an injured player. We need blue-chip players for that offensive line. I'm tired of building around patchwork players. The whole line last year was all a bunch of backups except for the right tackle. I think they need to draft a left tackle. I'm not on board of going like the other guy said. I know Jeanty's a generational-type player, but I still think you got to build. You got to get a left tackle, and you got to get a guard. And we need a center desperately, and they better not screw it up in free agency. They're going to have to overpay, get a center finally, and then you build around that. You can't put these guys in there that keep getting plowed over, and I don't care who's back there, Williams or Fields. Either one was getting killed because they had no time for plays to develop because the offensive line kept breaking down. And that's where I stand on that.
Sam, I believe you stand on solid ground. Those doubts are understandable. The frustration is palpable, and everybody gets your skepticism. You got to make it work. Offensive line for the Bears hasn't worked. But this is not putting the most optimistic tone or spin on this trade. But when you look at the tape of the limited snaps that I have seen, and I think maybe people have done some research and looking at when he played left guard, Jonah Jackson, when he played left guard for the Detroit Lions, he was good. He was better than average. He was athletic. He moved the pile. He was good in the run game. He was a guy that you trusted. He was a guy that Ben Johnson remembered. And that's not insignificant, because if you trust that Ben Johnson is the guy who has credibility when evaluating talent and knowing what an offensive line should look like, he's identifying Jonah Jackson as the guy that he wants. This is from Matt Bowen. Matt Bowen is a friend of the program, ESPN.com, as respected of a talent analyst as I know. He says this about Jonah Jackson. Interior mauler who can keep the pocket firm, powerful at the point, plays with an edge, latches onto defenders and moves them off the ball. Took reps at center in LA in 24, below average tape. Better fit at guard. Bingo. Thank you, Matt. Bingo. He's a better fit at guard. Don't ask him to snap the ball. Don't ask him to snap the ball and diagnose the defensive line and then do all this and do all that. Just ask him to maul people at left guard. Pull on occasion. Protect the quarterback. Build a pocket. Don't let anybody get to Caleb. He's a big man. 6'4". What is he? 300-plus? Got to be. And he can move. He's athletic.
He's listed at 310, which means he could be up to 330.
He played in Detroit, and when you see him, the Lions tape, he was moving. He was pulling. He was doing things. Now, the only thing we don't know about him, can he throw the football? Do they have any guard arounds? Can you run the fumble rooski? I'm kidding. Maybe Ben Johnson isn't kidding. Maybe that's why he's here. No, he's a good athlete, though. And I think that Matt Bowen, when he calls him powerful at the point, an interior mauler who can keep the pocket firm, that's a good description for any offensive guard, and I think the Bears got themselves a pretty good one. Danny is in Highland. Danny, welcome to Mullen Haw. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, Mr. David. So this is kind of a response to Jim that called earlier, and maybe you too with your reluctance to for Genty. How about we see what we do in free agency, and if we get some good picks there or good signings there and Genty's available, draft Genty. We still have I don't know how many more picks in the top two rounds, you know?
You've got three in the first 71, I believe. That's a pretty good number. That's a pretty good number. And, Danny, I am keeping an open mind on Ashton Genty. Everything I said can still be true. I would lean toward offensive line. I would favor an offensive tackle. I would prefer they address their biggest needs on both sides of the line of scrimmage. But, if Ben Johnson drafts Ashton Genty, I'm not suddenly going to say, well, bad idea. Because I've seen it work before in Detroit. I thought Jahmyr Gibbs was a bad pick. I go back to that draft day and night and the Friday morning we came in here. I remember questioning what the Lions were doing. And then Jahmyr Gibbs becomes a home run hitter. And he's in the right offense, and he's behind the right offensive line. Then this and that, and the rest is Lions history. He's good. He's great. Maybe Ashton Genty can be Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't know. Whatever team drafts him, if they overdraft him in the top 15, maybe that's not where he belongs or deserves to be drafted. But if the Bears do it, yeah, they have other needs. Nobody's going to deny that. But I don't think I would hate it, and I think I would reserve judgment. So is that wishy-washy? Maybe. But it's March 5th. We can be a little wishy-washy. I would not close the door philosophically on taking Ashton Genty at 10. But this also can be true. They've got bigger needs. And it depends on what happens in free agency. That's the best point Danny made. It depends what happens in free agency. They have now addressed one big glaring weakness. Left guard before free agency even arrives next Monday. Now what happens next? Drew Dolman, if you get a center, what if you went out and you get crazy and you get a center and a guard? And all of a sudden, after the first week of free agency, you've got three new offensive linemen added to Darnell Wright, and you've got the draft ahead, and Braxton Jones is recovering. Now you're looking at it a little bit differently, perhaps. So does it change your draft approach? In theory, it shouldn't. In reality, it does. You always are going to want the draft to draft the highest player available, as I said last segment, the highest ranked player on your board. But in reality, that need will always be niggling in your mind. Be like, oh, we still need an offensive lineman. Oh, we still need that. But it depends on who you get in free agency and what your roster and depth chart look like when the draft begins. But the Bears traded a day three pick for a day one starter. That's a good transaction. That's a good business move by the director of football operations, Ben Johnson, at Hallis Hall. He is the head coach and director of football operations at Hallis Hall. We know that because this trade happened. All right, what are the Bears going to do at quarterback? We haven't talked about that a lot. Biggsy had the answer, and I don't know that we've gotten to the point where Ben Johnson's voice has been heard in this regard. Tyson Bagent is the backup. There are some really qualified veteran backups on the open market. Do you care who was in that quarterback room with Caleb Williams, with another voice, yes, another voice in his head. What do you think? 312-644-6767. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
What does that backup look like, and are you getting an upgrade over, like, Tyson Bagent? Like, the, I know the front office, they hold Tyson Bagent in some level of regard as a number two quarterback. There's some stuff he doesn't know because of lack of experience, right? And which is fair to say, is the veteran that they could bring in a guy who can offer more in terms of awareness and just passing things on to Caleb and be better as a player on the field? Then it's probably a discussion worth having.
Secret.
Bagent.
Gentleman. Secret.
Bagent.
Gentleman. They've given you a number and taken away your name.
The Bagency is open. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Molly out today. That was Brad Biggs just a little while ago talking about the backup quarterback position on the Chicago Bears roster. One that hasn't gotten a lot of attention this offseason, but started thinking about it yesterday when looking at the Bears' first big offseason move, trading for Jonah Jackson, the left guard from the Rams. I think that Tyson Bagent, though he doesn't get universal respect, a lot of people who pay attention to football do value what he offers in terms of a replacement quarterback. If the Bears were to have to go a game or so without Caleb Williams, Tyson Bagent proved his rookie year that he was capable of running an offense. I think the Bears value that, and they also, from a front office perspective, Ryan Poles looks at Tyson Bagent as evidence of his scouting ability. This is an asset to Ryan Poles, a feather in his cap, if you will. This is a find. Yes, he was an undrafted free agent from the Division II school, but the Bears found him. And I think Ryan Poles and his staff are proud of that, and frankly should be proud of that. He's on your depth chart. But what you look for in a backup quarterback often in that quarterback room is something that Tyson Bagent just can't offer. Not because he's incapable of having insight or incapable of being the guy that you want to go into a game to replace your starter in the event of an injury or whatever, but he is somebody that just isn't experienced. He can't tell you what it was like in 2021 when he played the Falcons in this venue, or what it was like in the playoffs back in whatever season that Joe Flacco might want to reference. I use Joe Flacco because he is like the he's the example of the backup quarterback these days. Since his starting days in Baltimore ended, he has been the consummate backup quarterback. And there are guys like that available. And I just wonder, how much does Ben Johnson want a veteran backup? How much do the Bears need that guy for Caleb Williams? You look at what happened in Detroit this year. They went out and they brought back Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater was a high school football coach who won a state championship, I think, in the state of Florida. And then he came back and he was in uniform for the Lions and took some snaps. You have a need that NFL teams recognize for experience. Tyson Bagent doesn't know what he doesn't know. And it's very difficult to replicate that unless you bring in somebody with a few more years and seasons under his belt. So you get a guy and you ask a question, what about Jimmy G? Jimmy Garoppolo? What? I'm just going down the list, Dustin. No need to be triggered. I'm not trying to push a button.
Is this the hot take going back to 540?
No, it's not a hot take. Oh. This is not a, that. What was that hot take? That was a 540 hot take.
No, that one was coming. You were teasing that one potentially was coming.
Now I forget what it was. That was before the caffeine kicked in. I think that Jimmy Garoppolo is on the list of qualified veteran experienced backup quarterbacks.
Does he have a connection with the new head coach.
No.
Okay. See, you can sell me on the connection with the new head coach, and you can probably sell Caleb Williams on the connection with the new head coach. I have a sneaky suspicion, maybe not after the first year, but before his first year in the NFL, I don't think our QB1 wanted anybody around that would have an upper hand on him.
Perhaps, but you know what?
I think that was part of the deal.
After his up and
down. And it could have changed, right? It could have changed.
After his up and down rookie season, he has not earned the right to have veto power.
Right, correct. Zero.
You know, not him, but there were coaches now aren't there. It's a new regime. Everything about the Bears is what Ben Johnson wants. Ben Johnson will get. If he wants a veteran quarterback, you stop me. You stopped it. You make it sound like I said this whole segment because I wanted Jimmy Garoppolo. That's not the case. That's
hashtag
not the hot take.
Anybody but Jimmy G.
Okay, whatever. Jimmy G is just a name on the list. It was the first name I came up with. Yes, he might be first in my heart.
No, you had me at the, you know, the story of the comeback kid who coached his high school team to a championship in Florida and still took snaps.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes. There you go. That makes sense.
Not him. Not necessarily him. Maybe him.
Makes sense. So he's got Ben Johnson stink on him.
Okay. Well, his contract situation, we'll check it up. Teddy Bridgewater, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett is one of the guys around the league who has an excellent reputation for being the consummate teammate and pro. I think that would be a welcome addition. The thing is, how many voices does Caleb Williams want or need in his ear? What's Brandon Fryer smiling at? What did I say to amuse you?
No, I got a name, Jameis Winston. What about him?
I don't know.
I love those huddles, those
pregame
huddles.
For the entertainment value, maybe.
He would have tremendous entertainment value. He also might be a guy that you know want to – I think of a backup quarterback is his first do no harm, right? You don't want him to turn the ball over. You don't want him to make a mistake. Jameis Winston is a mistake machine. He's a turnover machine. I don't know.
Watch out, seafood buffets all over the Chicagoland area.
It's a question that has no answer today, but it's one worth thinking about moving forward. Because next week, this is a fun week, anticipating free agency. There's some trade activity, some roster questions. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And yesterday, it was a busy day around the NFL. Some big headlines. We're going to look at them when we come back. Which was the biggest? 312-644-6767. Away from the Bears, which NFL headline and development do you think caught your attention the most or will have the most impact on 2025? Let us know. It's Molly and Hall. Molly out today. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.